The mood is music.
All right, thank you for joining us for another episode of The Mood is Music. My name is Jesus, and I'm sitting here with my good friend Marcelo.
Hey, that's me.
And we were sitting down and talking about Latino shows on Netflix, and a couple that I'm stuck on, first of all, is Gentified.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if people out there have seen it. If you have, let us know what you think about it. But Gentified, I'm finding that it's probably written by actual Latinos, you know, actual yeah. Latinos who lived through LA Latino life. And it feels legit to me.
Yeah.
The other one is Narcos Mexico. And I find Narcos Mexico is interesting because it's giving us real characters that we actually know about. A couple of those characters being El Chapo, I believe we see him like before he was anything, mm-hmm. which I found really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was Rafael Caro Quintero. And what's interesting is Rafael Caro Quintero is basically the guy that started growing and you know, he was like, he would grow the best weed essentially
okay.
and help the cartels become what they became.
Interesting.
And there are so many corridos written about him and where they either name him or reference him or, you know, something like that. But there's over like 50 corridos written about him. One of the movements that I find so interesting is cartel life,
yeah.
right? Kind of like the mafia life and all that. And but in corrido music, which is a regional Mexican music, there's a few singers that I feel like you have to mention, you know, you can't skip over.
Right.
One of those being Chalino Sanchez.
Yeah, definitely.
And so Chalino Sanchez being as iconic as he is, for the Mood is Music, we've decided to make an artist feature for Chalino and basically break down his life before he became legendary in within the circles where he is legendary. And so in this episode of The Mood is Music, you guys will get to hear the story of Chalino Sanchez and what his life was about. With the rise of hip-hop music in the 80s and 90s and evolving into gangster rap, there also came narco-corridos. Narco-corrido fans, like hip-hop fans, support the music that best describes where they come from. The two genres are very similar. They both promote a certain style of dress, and both use a certain word or verbiage that may be similar, although in different language. A couple of examples are, in English you'll hear something like, "What up, cuz?" And in narco corrido culture, you'll hear the same thing translated in Spanish, sounding something like, "¿Qué onda, primo?" And it's essentially the same wording. Another example would be, in English you hear, "What up, fam?" which is short for family. And in narco corrido culture, you'll hear, "¿Qué onda, pariente?" Pariente is essentially family member. So they have very, very similar verbiage and everything. A corrido is a ballad in which someone's life story is sung. Dating back to the mid-1800s, the songs were the common people's way to learn the exploits of good and bad men without the ability to read newspapers, listen to radio, or watch television. On the other hand, a narco corrido is a controversial folk music genre which can be translated to drug ballad. This music is used by cartels and other criminal organizations to communicate their accomplishments, such as murders and drugs trafficked into other parts of the world, like the USA. One of the most recognized voices in corrido music is Chalino Sanchez. Rosalino Sanchez was born on August 30th, 1960, in the little ranchito of Las Flechas in Sinaloa. Las Flechas can translate to the arrows. There, about 20 miles from the city of Culiacán, he grew up the youngest of seven brothers and sisters. While Rosalino preferred the name Chalino, he was also known as Marcelino, El Pelavacas, or the cow skinner, El Indio, or the native, or the Indian, and to his friends, he was known as El Compa Chalino, or the Buddy Chalino, the Homie Chalino. When Chalino was only 11 years old, his sister Juana was raped by local bullies. One of them was El Chapo, and not the Chapo you're thinking of. 4 years later, Chalino shot and killed Chapo Perez at a party while celebrating the Mexican Revolution. Perez's two brothers, who also carried pistols, shot it out with Chalino. He was forced to flee Mexico. He crossed the border to become another bracero or campesino, or what you would know as an undocumented migrant worker in the fields of California and Oregon. Eventually, he left the fields and settled in the city of Inglewood, California, near the International Airport of Los Angeles. Chalino bounced from many jobs, many different jobs, from being a car wash person to even becoming a small-time drug dealer. He also worked as a driver for a restaurant in Bell Gardens. And then eventually he would join his brother Armando as a coyote. In 1984, his brother was found shot dead in a Tijuana hotel. Chalino described what happened with lyrics, saying, quote, "On the 5th of December, at 1 in the morning, at the Hotel Santa Rita in the city of Tijuana, they shot you without giving you a warning," end quote. These raw lyrics is what drew people to Chalino Sanchez, giving voice to what many people go through in Mexico. It is also reported that Chalino spent time in a Tijuana jail where he would write songs about his fellow inmates in trade for money and other favors. This kept going after his release from jail. Chalino wrote songs on commission for a few low-level gangsters and traffickers. He used this skill to trade for things like gold chains and watches and customized pistols. In 1984, Chalino would also marry his girlfriend, who was pregnant at the time, with their son, Adan. And around that time, those seeking his skills were now requesting more than lyrics on paper. They wanted recordings. In 1987, Chalino hired a local band called Los Cuatro de la Frontera, or the Four from the Border, bringing them into the music studio to record. And according to some, Chalino became frustrated with the band because they, quote, "had no idea how to play corridos," end quote. And Chalino took over. Like hip-hop music at the time, commercially, this music was impossible to promote to radio stations. So Chalino took to the local swap meets, street corners, and even some of the businesses around LA to promote his music. His music sold quickly, and word about him spread even quicker, appealing to Mexicans as well as Mexican Americans, inspiring them to reconnect with their Mexican heritage. 4 years after his first studio recording, he gave his first ever live performance at El Parral nightclub in Southgate, California, on December 19th, 1991. The doors to the club, it is said, had to be locked due to an overflow of people wanting to attend the show. Often criticized, Chalino admitted that he did not have the best singing voice, saying, quote, "I don't sing, I bark," end quote. His nightclub appearances would draw large audiences, and often he would get paid up to $10,000 to $15,000 a weekend. During his live performances, Chalino would often shout out his audience, including some of the local gangsters in attendance. He would also encourage all in attendance to dance to his music, which often resulted in things getting out of control. And it was never unusual for Chalino to interact with his audience, from taking pictures to hugging people, and also taking notes and sometimes written requests from his audience members. With his unique style, voice, and raw lyrics, Chalino quickly became a man of the people. Then, on January 20th, 1992, Chalino makes national headlines after an incident at one of his live performances in Coachella, California. It is reported that during his performance to the packed crowd, Eduardo Gallegos, high on heroin and booze, jumped up on stage and began firing a small caliber pistol into Chalino. Chalino pulled his own pistol from his waistband and began a running battle chasing Gallegos. Seven people were hit in the exchange, including Chalino. A local man was killed and Gallegos was wrestled to the ground by a bystander and shot in the mouth with his own pistol. By accident, I assume. He was later convicted and sentenced to prison and is serving 15 years to life. The final verse in Chalino's Corridor was sung on May 16th, 1992, only 4 short years after his career began. He accepted an engagement to return to Mexico and the Sinaloan capital of Culiacán. The people of Sinaloa wanted their beloved folk hero to return home, and they were willing to pay $20,000 to hear him perform. In the city of La Presita near Culiacán, at the Salón Bugambillas, Chalino made his appearance. It was also filled to the capacity with over 2,000 people. His performance was cheered by the adoring crowd, and things appeared to have gone well. And it is here where I'll go a little rogue and say that it was at this specific concert, and you can literally look up the clip on YouTube, where Chalino is given a piece of paper with a note written on it. And as I mentioned, it was not uncommon for him to take these notes or song requests from his audience members. And you can clearly see at the moment he reads this note that he's handed, everything changes. And a lot of people believe that it was at that specific moment that somebody was basically warning him, "You will not survive after tonight. This is your last time living." And you can clearly tell how Chalino's demeanor and everything just changes. And like a true professional, keeps going and basically delivers an excellent performance to his 2,000 people watching him. I encourage you to go on YouTube and look up this clip. It is very interesting. You will definitely see some links on this episode's description, so also look out for that. After the concert, Chalino left with his brothers Espiridion and Francisco, his cousin Carmelo Felix, and several young women. A few blocks away, at the city's traffic circle, two Chevy Suburbans, police vehicles, pulled Chalino's vehicle over. Several armed men surrounded the vehicle, and one man showed a state police identification. Camelo Felix said, maybe one or two were policemen. The others might have been madrinas. Madrinas literally translates to godmothers or bridesmaids, but it is referring to the corrupt system where thugs are employed as policemen to do dirty work for the authorities or their drug cartel bosses. My comandante needs you, the state policeman told Chalino. He pled with the Madrina gunmen not to take any of the others, and Chalino was driven away in one of the Suburbans. A few hours later, Chalino Sanchez's body was found dumped in an irrigation ditch north of town. His hands and wrists had rope marks, and his eyes were blindfolded. Two bullets had been fired into his head. No motive was found, and no suspects were ever arrested. This is a very common ending within the Mexican justice system. In Mexico and in the United States, the reaction was immediate. Everyone played Chalino's corridos. His murder did not silence Chalino. It turned him into the folk hero everybody needed. Since his death, more than 150 corridos have been written and sung about Chalino. This is more than those written for the Mexican revolutionary hero, Pancho Villa. Coyotes, drug cartel members, Mexican street gangsters, dope dealers, Mexican criminals of every type, and even common paisas listen to narco corridos. If you are curious about this man's story and his music, I encourage you to take some time and listen to some Chalino Sanchez. So, now we're coming back from the short break we took and the little report on Chalino Sanchez. What do you think?
I think that's good, man. I don't know that much about corridos, but I know a little bit. And I guess from what I know about it is from like the music side, actually, like I know in like kind of one person removed, a guy in Oxnard who was commissioning people to write stuff about himself, or I guess, yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Not that he was a cartel guy, but he was like the guy that was like brokering a deal to get something written about somebody.
Mm.
And so he was looking at like Latino, especially like Spanish language musicians, because he didn't want it to be a corrido. He was like a rap or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
He was looking for like a, yeah.
Whoa.
So he was looking for like somebody to do something like that. Yeah. Anyways, so, but because of that, somebody was like, oh, kind of like narco corridos, And I was like, that was years ago. So I looked into it a little bit, but I didn't know anything really about him, you know, like Chalino or his background or anything like that, or like all the crazy shit, like, about like his funeral and like how much money they paid and like it's kind of crazy.
Well, it's, you know, it's so crazy how he wasn't in the music industry for like 20, 30 years, or, you know, it wasn't crazy like that, but yet he was still able to build this legendary status in such a short-lived time. But the reason that I like his story, because it's so common to so many other artists that have pretty much, and, you know, through like conspiracy theories and all that, people believe that the cartel have done it to plenty more famous artists.
Oh, really?
Another good example of that being this singer named Sergio Vega. And basically he was leaving a cartel boss's party after performing for them. And then he gets stopped by a different cartel and gets shot up just for performing for the enemy or whatever. Wow,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just so, I don't know, you know, we lose a lot of good artists to stupid, prideful
things. Oh, man, you know? Like so many. Was it like Pop Smoke just got killed and like a... Yeah. Burglary, but like who knows, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I just read like, you know, like that he died and or that he got killed. And but yeah, I mean, like that shit just happens like a lot in certain group types of music. I mean, that's because music comes from a lot of music comes from, you know, normal people doing, you know, crazy shit in their life.
Yeah.
When I say normal, I mean like, you know, not just like educated musicians, like people who like, you know, grew up and were like, I'm going to be a musician. These are like, no, people who like, you know, struggled through poverty and became a musician, you know, because they loved it so much, but also probably had to do a lot of other stuff. It's kind of crazy. I mean, that's interesting thing about music. And like, it was, we talked about last time, like the different layers of like, or yeah, like I guess layers is maybe not the best way to say it, but just the different levels of how music finds a way to like connect people, even through different socioeconomic pathways.
Yep.
It seems weird though, because it's very stratified still, but I feel like it's getting less and less. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you don't get a lot of like we were talking about Echo in the Canyon last podcast, and we were talking about the like hip hop evolution about like New Orleans or whatever, and how it was similar because it was like a bunch of like-minded people creating music together and being very successful at it, and how like special of a thing that was.
Yeah.
And then Laurel Canyon and Topanga Canyon as a juxtaposition to that. And it's crazy that they don't ever mix though very much.
Right.
It's the stratification of the music hierarchies or whatever you want to call it. Genres, they don't mix that much, but they're starting to now, I feel like especially I mean pop music now can be like literally anything that becomes popular, like there's no more like, oh, this is pop music. It's just like pop music could be anything, like whatever people decide to start listening to, that's going to be the next popular song.
It could be
anything. It could be, you know,
the perfect example for me is Lil Nas X,
right? Exactly. Yeah, you
know, where some people might take him as hip hop or as a rapper or whatever, and others may not believe so.
Yeah.
It's
or country for that matter, right? Because that was the thing. Like that was the big controversy that he managed to create and also benefit from.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Which is awesome. That guy's a master.
I
he's like a young Jedi of publicity, virality, or whatever, becoming viral, and you know, things like that. And he's, you know, he's a good musician too. Like, but beyond that, he's a better, in my opinion, master of the media, social media. I mean, but so, anyways, like, just kind of bring that conversation back to the Chalino feature. Is that same with this? Like, this is like its own little like insulated community of music that like doesn't cross over very often.
No.
Like, but there are attempts at times to cross over, especially with like hip hop, like gangster rap in the Southwest.
Yeah.
And in like, you know, in LA and San Diego too. But like, so that's about it really. Like there's not a lot of like corrido rock crossovers,
but there's
cool.
There's Aquid. You ever heard of Aquid?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
they attempted, they tried for, you know, I mean, they
were successful.
They did something.
I mean, there probably is though. That's the thing. Like I just haven't heard it yet.
Yeah. But I mean,
there is some corrido rock out there.
Hopefully not, but yeah, I won't go looking for it. You know what's interesting about Chalino Sanchez is his son actually suffered a similar fate.
Oh, that's right.
And in 2004, he was performing in Sinaloa, Mexico, and on his way back to the hotel from the show, his car suddenly lost control and he, I think they rolled and everything, like he shot out of the windshield and it was pretty bad.
Is that another like cartel conspiracy thing,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, oh, so really? That's one of those things where people are like, we definitely can't prove it because nobody stopped them.
Right, right.
But we know that the car was messed with.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me that like it's its own government pretty much. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like it has such a massive effect on so many things in the world, in the Americas anyway, but in throughout the world really, but like mainly here, you know? Mm-hmm. And that somehow it's got to be, I mean, just to get a little bit conspiratorial, like why not just, I mean, obviously the move is just legalize drugs. Like if you're the government, right? Mm-hmm. You, and you know, the move is, in my opinion, you legalize it and control it, and then it's not going to decrease overdoses, or it might decrease them a little bit, but it will take the harm out of them, right? Like harm reduction in general, right? Yeah. And then you also benefit from all the money that's floating into that, which also helps, yeah. You know, the government, because government wants money for whatever reason, mostly corrupt in my opinion, but yeah. From all other reasons, also roads and highways and things like that.
Yep.
Why just continue this war that doesn't ever have an ending, you know, because yeah. People are always going to use drugs and there's always going to be someone to produce them. So why not take that? It's like, it's such an obvious move that's not happening that you're like, oh, it benefits somebody for this thing to keep happening.
Yeah.
Or it benefits a lot of people. It must not benefit just one group of people. It must benefit millions of people.
And not only that,
to keep it going.
I mean, you have two streams of revenue,
right?
In fighting it and in prolonging it,
right? You know, or in probably, yeah, you're definitely like, I mean, we know that the government double dips. I mean, I know that from going back to Nicaragua. You know, like the story, you know, around Contra and funneling money for arms and like using, you know, like utilizing untraceable large amounts of money to do things, mm-hmm. you know. And that's drugs, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you know, no, there, I believe.
Which sucks. So we all are just like, we all are caught up in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean,
it's like, oh, awesome. We're just shitty. Like, we're just going to sit here and get fucked by you guys, you know, on both sides. The people who like, sure, somebody who like really likes cocaine benefits, right? But like, most people don't. Like, most people maybe have tried it a couple times or maybe use it at times. I've never used it, but like, I don't have anything against it, mm-hmm. but like, most people are not like, I'm going to use cocaine all the time.
Right.
And like, as long as I get my cocaine, I don't care if all this other bad shit happens. Most people are like, I could do without cocaine if all this bad shit's going to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, and that's the majority of the people. And those people are all getting fucked by the drug war, basically. Because mm-hmm. on the government legalizes its side, they can just get cocaine.
Yeah.
Like whenever they want it and like do it responsibly.
And, microdose.
Or whatever. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Like what, same with like weed, you know, what's happening with weed right now is like, you know, creating millionaires left and right, you know? So
it's so crazy in Mexican culture. I don't know how it is in Nicaraguan culture, but in Mexican culture, like Mexico has so much weed and Mexico is responsible for distributing so much weed around the world. Yet Mexican parents are so against their son or daughter becoming a marihuano, you know?
Right.
And, but then when they get drunk, they're like, oh.
That's fine. Just, yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
I've
good
always,
propaganda, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean.
It's also like class, I think, because like, mm-hmm. you know, that's like considered like a little bit lower class, you know, not a little bit, but I guess a lot lower class.
You're more hood.
Yeah.
You smoke weed.
Yeah.
So drinking's better, I guess.
It's not.
It's
but,
so
yeah.
stupid. It's so dumb. Yeah. I mean, I've gone through that in my own family.
Yeah.
You know, where like I've nobody knows I smoke.
Right.
And then, but nobody's finds it wrong.
Well, now they do.
Well, I don't give a fuck. But nobody finds it wrong that I drink so much, except for me, you know? And it's such so a backwards much. Thing.
Stop drinking so much, man.
I did. I'm taking a break. I come to terms with myself, man.
I can't really drink. I've always been like, when I was young, like in high school, I think I did all my drinking then. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like high school to early college time.
Yeah.
I think I was like, I did a lot of drinking. And mm-hmm. then like took a break. And then kind of like mid-20s, did a decent amount of drinking. Yeah. Mid to late 20s. But not anything, you know, no like 2-day benders or anything like that. Yeah. But definitely like drank a lot of times like at bars with friends and had fun and mm-hmm. shows and, you know, touring and like all that stuff. And then it kind of just dropped off a lot because like I think I just started getting like bad hangovers all the time. And then I was like, oh, it's not worth it. And now like I'll have like, if I have like one like bourbon, I'll be okay. Or if I have like one vodka drink, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
If I have like one beer, I'll be okay too.
Yeah.
You know? But it's kind of like gives me a headache a lot of times. But sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes I can drink like two or three. So it's weird. It really depends on how much sleep I can achieve in that time. Yeah. And usually it's none because my son, you know, so.
Well, we're getting to an age where we have to prepare to drink.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I actually, you know, I turned a bad habit into routine, which was not only pretty much drinking every day, but I wasn't even drinking enough to get drunk. It was just like having a meal with a friend and I'm having a drink with it.
Right, right. You know?
And it was like maybe one or two beers at lunch, maybe one beer at dinner. And then I just got to the point where I was like, what the fuck am I? I'm just drinking fucking beer, wasting money on it. And it's not, I'm not even drinking to get drunk, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the opposite of what most people think, though.
And so I put the kibosh on the fucking
routine.
And
you're just like, no, it's only every once in a while to get drunk.
To you know, have something, or maybe drink some wine, you know?
Yeah, right, or whatever,
But yeah, I mean, I have always, I think that I've always kind of feared to have a drinking problem, but I've never had problems with drinking. You know, I've never been violent. I have no DUIs, you know, knock on wood and all that. And so, therefore I don't consider myself having a drinking problem. I like beer. I like it too much. But it's, you know.
But I mean, but all that being said, like, if it was like an illegal drug, did all of that would be on top of the fact that at any moment you can go to jail for a long period of time. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's funny that, but alcohol kills, you know, millions. I don't know if it's millions. I don't know how many people alcohol kills, but a lot of goddamn people every year, you know, between
drinking either and driving or
and
indirectly.
Liver and, you know, health issues. So anyways, so it's this microcosm of narcocorridos about, you know, people commissioning, like I was talking about in a previous podcast that got deleted about the like commissions that people are giving out, like, you know, or that cartel members are like, you know, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars to write a song about me. Yeah. Like that's weird and like medieval. And it only happens because there's this microcosm around this illegal activity that's created this entire empire.
Yeah.
And like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And these guys are like the minstrels of it all. You know what I mean? Like the court jesters. Like it's, not in like the funny way, but in like the, you know, telling stories about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you see The Witcher on Netflix?
I've seen
It's like, throw the Witcher a penny or whatever, throw a coin to your Witcher or whatever. It's like that guy. It's like, you killed 20 Sinaloenses or whatever.
Can I say something about The Witcher?
Sure, I guess.
Haven't seen it.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was Superman at some point.
Yeah, that guy. Henry Cavill or something?
Yeah,
or something
Henry Cavill or something like
that. Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't like him as Superman.
Oh.
And I kind of, like, my interest in him kind of died away. That's why I haven't gotten into
it. Wow, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's funny. I think it's good. I thought it was good. I didn't like the first episode or the second episode, but the rest of it I really liked. I didn't not like them. I didn't understand them as much because I played the video game like a couple times.
Oh.
But I didn't play it as much as to understand. And I guess for like maybe the first two episodes, you kind of need that background a little bit.
I see.
Yeah. So it's a video game based.
Okay.
Property, intellectual property. Yeah. Huh, so
interesting.
I'm sorry. And I think there's books too, or maybe it's books first and then video games. I don't know. But anyways, I know there's books and there's a video game. It's pretty good. Yeah. But it's like that. It's like a minstrel. Like these guys are.
Yeah. Cartel leaders have so much money laying around that they're just like, how much is it to write me a song?
Yeah,
and then put it on the fucking radio. I own the radio station.
Right, you know what I mean? Put it on there. You play this now.
I'm famous indirectly.
Yeah.
Because you're, you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's so crazy. Like, it's crazy. I don't know that there's anything like that.
Yeah.
Equivalent in the United States right now. Like, I mean, I know narco corridos are being made and produced in the United States. Well, I'm just saying, like, is there any equivalency to that in English language music currently?
You know, I mean, Trump might start.
He might start
paying people to write.
Well, right. Besides like Christian music or like, yeah, that's true, I guess. But not like, there's no.
But no.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess so. Like gangster rap. I mean, like.
Yeah, I mean, guess, they like, mentioned people sometimes. Yeah, I guess.
But it's not like dudes aren't paying people to make music, really, right?
Yeah, no. I don't see like the CEO of something, you know, being like, yo, tell them about me.
Yeah, yeah. Tell them about me. Tell the story about how I did this thing.
Yeah, how I'm the CEO and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy, man.
It is very crazy. And it's kind of psychotic, you know?
It is a little bit, yeah.
To have not only that available, but to have the means for it.
Right. You know?
And how they're getting it and like what they're telling. And it to me, it's... I've never really figured out. I don't know, man. It's so crazy because, like, it's not even about the money, it feels like. It's about power and it's about, like, showcasing who has more.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I feel like that's the reason for the fucking gold AKs.
All that shit. Yeah, but I mean, that was even, like, before that with like the Colombian cartels, right? Yeah. Like too, like the same thing, like the guns and like the outfits and like
the hippos.
Yeah, the hippos. And like for like, especially like when you're in LA and stuff, anytime I see like a super tricked out, like F-150 with like obviously like a Latino, like the like style, you know, aesthetic, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like, I'm always, especially like some with the paint jobs where you're just like, Jesus, that paint job was really expensive. Like, you're just like, whoa, who are you?
What do you do?
How can you justify the spending that money in your life?
We saw a glimpse of that in the movie The End of Watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where they stop the guy and like he has a pot of actual food, but inside of there, he's got a bunch of drugs. And I mean, I feel like, when I lived in Baldwin Park, which is right outside of LA, I swear, man, I saw every other day, I was like, that truck is a little suspicious.
Oh, yeah. You know,
why is this dude that doesn't look that rich drive that?
Fuck yeah, like Burbank. It was like that in Burbank. I mean, let alone like, you know, Koreatown or any of the other places, you know, like, but yeah, I mean, you definitely see it more. You don't really see that here ever. If you see a jacked up F-150, it's pretty rare that it's like not a white guy driving it.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while I'm surprised, but like not too often.
Well, if they're like extremely high, extremely lifted, it's probably a white guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean like, yeah. So I just think that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a good episode, man. Like, I think it's good. I'm excited to hear the next one.
Yeah. I believe we have a couple of artist features that are coming up that are also going to be, I'm excited for too.
Yeah.
And so I look forward to also having another song exchange. I'm ready to, I have a couple on the chamber ready to go.
Yeah. So okay, good. So do I. I also, there's a couple shows coming up that I think we should go check out. And then I think maybe we can pull off a couple like in studio guests in this year.
Nice.
I think technically we can pull that off pretty soon.
Yeah. I look forward to all of that. if you are listening to this podcast,
which we know some of you are.
Yeah. Email us at moodismusic@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know if you're enjoying the show, if there's any changes. Just give us some feedback or tell us that we're fucking awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Connect with us some way, somehow. You can find me, Jesus, at Instagram under the handle SilentServe138, SilentZer138. And then the same handle on Twitter. So connect with us.
Nice. And you can find me at, mostly on Twitter these days, at Kanika Music, which is CANICA. MUSIC. Check out, or you can connect with me on my website, which is myfullname.com, which is Marcelo Quiñones. MARCELOQUINONEZ. And then also on our Instagram page, which we have, and we both check pretty regularly.
Yes.
Though we post sporadically, but I don't really know Instagram very well. So, like, I'm learning Instagram through the Mood is Music podcast's Instagram.
I mean, honestly, it feels like we got to show our asses to get some likes on that.
Well, I think what happens is, right, I guess what I'm hearing a lot is that people are, that it, like, the timeline has shifted to, like, sponsored stuff. So, like, you know, you basically just have to pay to be on the timeline. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, anyway, find us on freaking Instagram.
Yeah, Twitter, yeah. So Twitter is probably a better option for us. And then, or email us.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely,
people.
Definitely look out. Follow us on Instagram under the handle Mood is Music. You will be seeing some video of us for this specific episode. So come and watch us, see what we look like. And follow us, like all of our content, and listen to the like rest of the episodes.
Yes. Do it.
Gia, baby.
The Mood is Music.
Do you see me like I see me? Do you see what they see?